Father's Day message. Now, not all fathers are good fathers, just like not all mothers are good mothers. But for those of us who have been blessed with, call them role model type parents, the type of parents that we would like to be, this is a day of thankfulness. For me, at least, I think for most of us, Father's Day is a little different than Mother's Day. On Mother's Day, we think of her love and tenderness toward us. And it's a kind of a sentimental day. We usually get a sentimental kind of a card on Mother's Day that talks about how much she's given up for us and how much we love her. Father's Day, it's a little bit different. On Father's Day, we think more in terms, especially my generation at least. Today, most of the time, it seems like both parents are working. But my generation, we thought of our father as working hard to provide for us. For us boys, we thought of him teaching us life skills. And of course, we thought of him as a disciplinarian. And so the emotions are a little different. We don't usually get our father a mushy card. It's more likely to be a joke card, or it was for us anyway. But we also think of the special times that we've had with our father, especially if it was just one-on-one. For many of us, in my case, feelings of love and tenderness, though, just really, I can't remember any times of love and tenderness. So you kids, I think for both families that I see represented here, you have fathers who show you love and tenderness, and that's a wonderful blessing to you. When I think of my dad, I'm always thankful for him, and I always think that he was as good a stepfather as a man can be. But you know, I'm never able to feel, I've never felt that I ever really, truly pleased my dad. I was over 40 years old, and I realized I was still trying to please my dad. And I had never felt like I had pleased him. I never felt like he was proud of me. And again, you kids, if your dad lets you know that he's proud of you, that's a real blessing. Thank God that you have a father who lets you know that he's proud of you. And dads, I encourage you to make sure that your children do know that. But whether we've had a good father, bad father, or terrible father, we have a perfect heavenly father as our picture of what a father should be like. If we want to know how to be a good father, all we have to do is study God's character. And then I guess, you know, try to develop those characters in ourselves, which in my case just would lead to frustration because I don't succeed. And so as Christians, we allow the Holy Spirit to try to develop that kind of a character in us. You know, I guess I thought I could please my dad with my actions. But the older I got, the more my actions proved to fall short. But it wasn't my actions that Dad was looking at. It was my character. And I can tell you, this is not just me. I hope I'm not coming across sort of as having a false humility or something. But my dad saw my character as weak and erratic and undisciplined. And I have to admit that when I look back, I see that he was right, especially as a teenager, at least, let's say, up until my early 30s. That described my character. And so my actions were never able to, my actions didn't change my character. And it was a change in character Dad was looking for. Now, thankfully, God led us to place our faith in Jesus Christ in our late 20s. And I've had a good wife that has helped me to develop a little bit more stable character. So I'm thankful for that. But Dad never really was able to see good in my character. And my actions did not overcome that. Do you ever think about whether your life pleases God or not? You know, the Bible is full of things that it says we can do to please God. There are actually quite a number of scriptures that say this is how you can please God. And I read scriptures, I looked online, I read what people said about this is how you can please God. And I thought, okay, let's try to narrow that down to the three most important. What do I think are the three most important things we can do to please God? You know, some of the minors that we can do are things like keep the Sabbath. You know, that's something that God really would like to see us do. And there's a reason for that. When we keep the Sabbath as he has said that we should, that means we can spend time with him. I think I may have mentioned that some of my best times with Dad were when we would go fishing. And God wants us to kind of go fishing with him on the Sabbath. You know, we come and we worship him corporately. But I hope that each of us also sets a little bit of time aside for just one-on-one, just a little bit of conversation, just us and God. This is a picture of my oldest grandson and I about 10 or 11 years ago when we were out fishing together, probably at Chain Lakes, and he was so proud to catch that fish. But, you know, my grandkids like spending time in the boat. They like spending time with me. And my kids did too. Time alone. Time to get to know my heart. Just like it was times like that that I got to know my father's heart. But anyway, that's one of the things we can do that pleases God. Another thing we can do is, you know, our giving. God loves a cheerful giver. Things like that. There's all kinds of them. And Scripture does tell us in Ephesians 5:10, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Or if you're a King James reader, it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, we can know pretty quickly what displeases the Lord, especially if we read the Old Testament. And I was going to offer a few examples here, but we don't have time. And so I'm just going to read a summary given in Isaiah of what displeases the Lord and what his response is. In Isaiah chapter 66, verses 3 and 4, we read, "But those who choose their own ways, delighting in their detestable sins, will not have their offerings accepted." And so it's when we choose our own ways that God is not happy with us. Oh yeah, I better get rid of this picture. So they will not have their offerings accepted. When such people sacrifice a bull, it is no more acceptable than a human sacrifice. And that's pretty disgusting to God. When they sacrifice a lamb, it's as though they had sacrificed a dog. When they bring an offering of grain, they might as well offer the blood of a pig. When they burn frankincense, it's as if they had blessed an idol. That's pretty rough, isn't it? But I think that's a good picture of what I was like, especially as a teenager, trying to please my dad. I was doing my own thing. I almost never went to him for advice. And then I would offer half-hearted attempts at good works. No wonder he was never pleased. Our Old Testament reading from today from Hosea speaks to this. And Brenda's going to read that for us now. Hosea chapter 6, the first six verses.
Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. Now he will heal us. He has injured us. Now he will bandage our wounds. In just a short time, he will restore us so that we may live in his presence. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rains in early spring. Oh, Israel and Judah, what should I do with you, asks the Lord? For your love vanishes like the morning mist and disappears like dew in the sunlight. I sent my prophets to cut you to pieces, to slaughter you with my words, with judgments as inescapable as light. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings.
And so in verse 3, it says, oh, that we might know the Lord. And that's what God is looking for in us. Not so much our actions as our attitudes. A sincere desire within us to get to know him more. So there are three things that I've picked out this morning. And they talk more about attitude than action. And one of the third one really comes from the book, The Easy Burden of Pleasing God by Patty Kirk. And I'm going to quote what she says, what she wrote. She wrote, discover the contentment behind God's commands. Recognize that God has designed each of his commands to you for your benefit, to protect you from harm, and help you develop contentment, regardless of what circumstances you encounter in this fallen world. When you keep in mind that God has good purposes for calling you to behave a certain way, you can see that God's commands aren't burdens, but blessings. I'm always shocked when I hear a Christian who reviles the law, reviles God's commands and says, oh no, I'm freed from that. I don't have to pay any attention to that, when they're there for our blessing. And so we need to learn to be content within God's commands for us. We need to learn to think of them as blessings for us. Psalm 37:4, I've probably read this to you a number of times. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. And then thinking a little more toward his commandments in Isaiah 55:1, it reads, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear. Come and listen so that you may live and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. In other words, God is saying, come and receive my teaching, my blessings, my advice. That what I mentioned this before, but that's one of the things I realized that must have really hurt my dad. I never asked him for advice. I just went my own way. You know, life would have been so much easier for me if I would have asked my dad for his advice. He wasn't a Christian, so he didn't have the wisdom that a Christian father has. But he had life experience. He could have saved me. Well, he tried. He did try. So it's not that he could have saved me so much trouble. I could have saved so much trouble if I had listened to him. And God is like that. God has got such great advice. We can save ourselves so much trouble if we'll just listen to him. In Hosea 6, where it says, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. That actually wasn't the scripture I was thinking of, but one of the things that really blesses us is when we see our children giving themselves up for others. And I think that was in the last verse of the Matthew scripture. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. This is, you know, this is something God wants to teach us. And if we learn it, we'll enjoy life so much more. I am so blessed when I see when I used to see my children, I still do sometimes, giving themselves up for their brothers and sisters. And we were camping this past week with some of our grandchildren, and it was such a blessing to watch them give themselves up for others. I could mention by name, some of them are sitting at the table at the Meikle house, but I won't mention specifically by name. But what a blessing it was to watch you giving yourself up for your cousins and for your brothers and sisters. And that's one of the attitudes that God wants to bless us with. God wants to see us develop mercy. It was interesting, as I was researching, I saw that 26 times in Exodus and Leviticus, God talks about the mercy seat. He wants to meet Israel through the mercy seat. He wants to teach us to have mercy. 59 times in the New Testament, the word mercy is used. Now, the second most important thing that I thought that we should develop to please God is to view our relationship with God the way he does. We should try to understand his motives. I don't think I've seen a father yet whose motive is to make a life miserable for his children. I don't think I've ever seen that. But I remember as a teenager thinking, my dad just wants to put me down. And I think some of my kids too, when they were teenagers, that's a tough time to be able to see that our dad's discipline is all about his love for us. And so we need to understand God's motives. We need to view our relationship the way he reviews our relationship. My stepfather was extremely harsh with me. And yet, I mentioned those times fishing, times like that. I knew my dad's heart well enough to know that that was not his goal for me. I think I felt like it was when I was a teenager, but I knew it wasn't his goal. His goal was to try to mold me and shape me into, you know, kind of into a nice, straight, tall tree instead of the crooked bush that was reflected in my life. Matthew 7, 9 through 11 says, "You parents, if you ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" Our heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts, and he always gives us what we need. You know, some of us have been frustrated with the restrictions that this whole COVID thing has brought upon us. Well, COVID has been brought upon us for a lot of reasons. I think partly it is God's judgment. Partly it is his attempt to get our attention. And partly for us Christians, there's all kinds of good things it's brought us. Times of rest, perhaps. Times of deeper fellowship with him. Always he knows just what we need, and that's what he gives us. From God's perspective, our relationship is based on love, not rules. And he loves us completely and unconditionally. In 1 Corinthians 13:8, the love chapter, we read, "Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever." And that's referring to God's love. God's love will last forever. And that's the way we need to view our relationship with him. Psalm 136 has 26 verses, and every one of them ends the same way. I'm just going to read the last verse, verse 26. But every verse ends the same way. "Give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever." Well, what pleases God? Let's come to the very most important thing of all. Andy Womack is a kind of a name it and claim it type of preacher. His focus is on faith. And so it's not surprising that he gives us an illustration that talks about the one thing that actually is required to please God. And he said, during a Sunday morning service in St. Joseph, Missouri, a few years back, I asked the congregation, how many of them really want to please God more than anything else? Every hand went up. Then I asked them, how many of you think God is really pleased with you? And he writes that out of at least 400 people, one 11-year-old boy and one 10-year-old girl raised their hands. That was all. Very few believers, he writes, actually believe they are pleasing to God. Most feel some degree of forgiveness and maybe acceptance, but to think that the Lord is actually pleased with us is another matter. A person can choose to love you because of his or her own goodness, but to be pleased with you? They actually have to like your performance, right? Well, we know that with God, no one could ever be pleasing to him based on performance. His standard is perfection, and no goodness on our part can ever compensate for our sins. We may please man with our actions, but we know all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It takes the precious blood of Jesus to please God, to pay for our sins, to make us right in his sight. So what about you? Do you feel that God is pleased with you? There is only really one work that God truly requires of us, and that is placing our faith in him. All that is really necessary for us to do as Christians is to place our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Place our faith in the unfailing mercy of our loving Father. Believing in Jesus and trusting Him for every part of our life, every other good work that God leads us to through His Holy Spirit will flow from a foundation of faith. Only faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior is necessary to please God. Hebrews 11:6 is a familiar verse to many of us. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So all these other things I've mentioned, they're all, yes, it's true, they're things that God loves to see in us. But He has already proclaimed that He is pleased with us. We don't have to earn the love of our Father like I thought I had to earn the love of my Father. He is already pleased with us. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. When we present ourselves to God, we give ourselves to God. We lay ourselves on the altar of faith before God. God is already pleased with us. We are already an acceptable sacrifice. In John chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus said, and the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do what pleases him. Jesus always does what pleases the Father. And when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we become clothed in his righteousness. And so regardless of our sin, that still remains, God is pleased with us, looking at us through the righteousness of Christ. And then I suppose there is one more way that we please God. This is really an outcropping of point number one. This is an outcropping. If we have truly placed our faith in Jesus Christ, then we can't help but burst forth in praise. Psalm 69:30 and 31 says, then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving. For this will please the Lord more than sacrificing cattle, more than presenting a bull with its horns and hoofs. So it's not what we offer to the Lord in our sacrifices. It's living out a life of faith and showing our praise for him that brings him joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a loving God, that no matter what our actions are, and in fact, even no matter what our character is, you view us through the righteousness of Christ and you are pleased with us. Father, may we feel pleased with you. By you today. May we feel your love in a very special way today. And for the children who are listening, may they too feel their earthly father's love in a very special way today and know that they are pleasing to their father. So we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm.